Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study, looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 15, which says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." And as we've been looking at this passage and dealing with what the Apostle Paul has been saying in this section, we've been looking at how Paul has been holding up the assembly in Israel and the little flock and showing how they could be a pattern of things and comparing it to the nation of Israel as a whole and the failures that the nation had. And when we look at the issue of the failure of the nation, we see how there had been an offer of the kingdom to them throughout their history. In fact, that's the message that you see in the beginning of the book of Mark about the idea of the preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The offer of the kingdom which would have fulfilled all of the covenants. This is the message that you see throughout the Old Testament. It's the message that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are extensions of the Old Testament. This is the message you see in the book of Acts, especially in the early section of it. It's a message that you see in Hebrews through Revelation, because this is a very consistent message of what was going on with the nation of Israel and what this offer was being made to them. You know, that's a big contrast with the gospel message that's been given to the Apostle Paul that he preaches to us today, that we are to be giving to other individuals as well, so that way they can have salvation. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. Israel was looking for a literal, physical kingdom to be here on planet Earth, and they were failing to see this because they continuously rejected the message that was being given to them of this kingdom being established. In fact, you see how in their history they rejected the ministry of God the Father as the prophets were preaching this kingdom unto the nation, and how Israel just over and over again rejected that offer. We saw how the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was here on planet Earth preaching this message. They rejected this by, you know, actually crucifying him in that rejection. We see the ministry of God the Holy Ghost during the early part of the book of Acts, again offering this kingdom to the nation as a whole, and the nation rejects this offer in Acts chapter number 7. And we're going to go there in a few minutes to see what happened as a result of that. But there is a major issue that comes up for Israel as a result of this rejection that is going on, that continuously happens related to the offer of the kingdom that's being made with them. In fact, let's go over to the book of Mark. We're going to Mark chapter number 3 to see something that's recorded here that speaks about this rejection that's going on here of the nation as a whole related to the kingdom being offered. And we see here in Mark chapter number 3, we're going to read here verses 28 and 29. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and the blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, this is something that you'll hear individuals now call it the unpardonable sin. And then saying, well, see, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it can't be forgiven you. So, you know, this is something you have to really avoid doing here. Now, what's really being spoken of here is the fact that, you know, because of what was going on with the nation of Israel, that if they rejected the ministry of the Holy Ghost, who was offering the kingdom unto them, it was going to be a major problem for the nation as a whole, because there wasn't another part of the Godhead that could actually offer the kingdom unto them. They would have gone through all of the possible offers that could have been made. And this is why it's an issue, as Mark records it here and says, they're in danger of eternal damnation. Because without God giving them another chance, they're completely out of those things. And what they see here in this offer and why they're rejecting what's going on here in this ministry of the Holy Ghost here, offering them the kingdom. If we go over to Acts chapter number 7, I'm going to see what happens here. And see, Stephen is going to be speaking to the religious leadership of the nation of Israel. And throughout the chapter here, you can go through and you see how he lays out the history of the nation and lays out all of their failures that had gone on and is giving them this chance to actually get it right, to accept who the Lord Jesus Christ was, accept this offer of the kingdom that's going to be established. So that way they could be that kingdom of priests and holy nation that God intended for them to be. And so we see here in Acts chapter number 7, we're going to read here starting at verse number 51. And it says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." Now we're going to continue on here in a moment, but I want to focus here on the issue of where Stephen is truly laying out for them their failure. Why it is that they were in this position that they are here in the book of Acts, where they've rejected all of these things. And we're going to see the result of this here when we continue on. Let's pick up back in this chapter. We're going to start at verse 54 now. And it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So as he's saying this to them, he's declaring the fact that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah, the one that had been promised, you know, pointing out the rejection of the, you know, what Israel's rejection, but he's also pointing out some things here related to, you know, what it is that they had done, and because they at least had an understanding of what the scriptures had said, they knew the significance of the fact when it says that the Son of Man was standing on the right hand of God, because the scriptures pointed out that there was a specific reason for this. And because we can look, for example, at a passage. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. And we'll go to Psalm 110 here to see what David is going to record in this psalm. And we're going to read the very first verse of Psalm 110, which says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So the issue here in the book of Psalms is that the Lord, that's God the Father, is going to say unto my Lord, God the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So the issue is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he goes up into heaven, is to sit down at the right hand of God. And it says, until this point, until what's being said, and that until is going to be very clearly defined here of what that means. If we go to the book of Isaiah, and we'll go to Isaiah chapter number 3, and we're going to see something that the prophet Isaiah says about this whole idea of, you know, where we see in Psalms that he's to sit until this happens. But now we're going to see Isaiah say something here. And we're going to read in chapter number 3 of the book of Isaiah, in verse number 13, where it says, "The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." So it's clear from what Isaiah is saying here that there's two reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ would be standing. It would be to plead, and it would be standing to judge. So when Stephen is saying over in the book of Acts in chapter number 7 that he sees the Son of Man standing, they understand that he's talking about a judgment that's going to come upon them as a result of their failures. Because he's been laying out very clearly for them that they've failed, they failed. All these different places where they couldn't do the things that God intended for them to do, the things that God had instructed them to do, they didn't do them, they failed, and judgment hadn't come. And now you have Stephen declaring that this judgment is now here, and it's time for this judgment to occur. And this is where their rejection of what's being said here occurs. And they reject this offer of the kingdom because they're rejecting who he is. And we know that from the fact of what's going on, that the next thing that should have happened prophetically should have been the start of the 70th week of Daniel. But we also know that prophecy has been interrupted by this dispensation, by the dispensation of the grace of God, by the fact that there's an entity known as the body of Christ that's going to be reconciling the heavenly places back unto God, fulfilling the issue of what he had laid out before the foundation of the world. And he also lays it out very clearly that he's going to pick up again with the issues of what the prophetic program was actually speaking about. If we go over to Romans chapter number 11, we're going to see where Paul is going to speak very clearly about this issue here. And in Romans chapter number 11, we're going to read here verses 26 and 27. And it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion to deliver, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And I also want to read verse 25 here as well. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So there's something that Paul's identifying, calling the fullness of the Gentiles, which is the completion of the dispensation of the grace of God. And as that occurs, you're going to see what he's laying out here in verses 26 and 27 of where the covenant is going to be completely fulfilled. The kingdom's going to be ushered in, you know, because there's going to be a section that says all Israel shall be saved. We know that not all Israel is of Israel, because in God's eyes, you know, someone could be an Israelite by birth, but they're truly only identified as being Israel in his eyes when they have actually put their trust in the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied. When they're aligned with God's program, then he considers them to be part of Israel. The nation as a whole, Paul identifies in the text that we've been reading here when he says that they have, not only have they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, he says, and have persecuted us. So as the nation as a whole saw what God was doing through the Apostle Paul, through the body of Christ, there's issues of the nation of Israel fighting against what Paul was doing and persecuting those that were ministering with the Apostle Paul. Let's go over into the book of Acts. And we're going to see, you know, some examples here in the book of Acts of where this is actually going on here in Acts chapter number, we're going to chapter number 17 here in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at some things here. We're going to start in verse number 5 of Acts chapter number 17. And it says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and compassed and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now we see, and this is actually speaking of Thessalonica, so Paul is pointing out what had actually occurred that they had been witnesses to, so that way they could understand, say, well, you know, we saw the Jews, we saw the nation of Israel persecuting them, all in this idea of that he was proclaiming who Jesus was. He was, and from their eye, they're seeing this, you know, keep taking it back, the message of what they were rejecting, the fact of that, you know, preaching another king, speaking of that kingdom, showing that rejection of what was going on. Now, we see this happening in Thessalonica. We see that Paul and Silas, they travel unto Berea. As a result of fleeing what's going on, now let's see what happens to them now that they're in Berea. Same chapter here, let's skip down here to verse number 13. It says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So these Jews of Thessalonica, you know, they weren't happy enough with the fact that, well, they left our city and they're not causing any problems for us anymore, so it doesn't matter what they do. They took us, well, you know what? They've kept going. They're preaching this now somewhere else, so we're going to go there. We're going to travel over to Berea, stir up these people in this rejection of what's going on, continuing this persecution to the point of where, you know, Paul has to flee again. And we see as the book of Acts continues on, this continued rejection of what the Apostle Paul was doing. Now, what we don't see is, you know, a rejection of things related to what Peter, James, John, and the other apostles were doing, because we can see thing of, if we go over to chapter 21 in the book of Acts, we're going to see something here that speaks of, you know, something that's going on in Jerusalem here. And we're going to read verse number 20 of Acts chapter number 21. And it says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Now, prior to Paul's salvation, Paul was persecuting the members of the little flock. He was chasing them out of Jerusalem. People had a fear of actually, you know, glorifying God, of actually doing the things that God had intended. And now we see, instead of there being that fear, there's actually a thing of where there's thousands of individuals who are in Jerusalem, who are there as part of this feast day, and are zealous of the law. And it identifies the fact that they believe, that these are individuals who are believers of, you know, the message that Peter, James, and John had been declaring. And yet they're here, they're openly doing the things of their program, and there's no opposition to what they're doing. The opposition from the world system, the opposition from Satan, only goes after the things that are truly what God is doing. Because if it's something that God's not doing, there's no sense of Satan opposing it, because Satan, you know, doesn't care, you know, and Satan actually wants people to be doing the things that are opposed to God. When people are doing the things that are of God, Satan's going to oppose them. Satan's going to try to stop them from being effective, from declaring that message. And so by the fact that Paul's talking about the fact that he has a persecution that's following him, it means that he's actually remaining faithful to what's going on. And how, you know, every time when we see this idea of persecution, it keeps going back to those who are faithful, and how oftentimes individuals, as they start to experience those things, that they will walk away from what God wants them to do because they can't endure those type of things. Now, when we continue on here looking at this verse, we're going to look at this issue of where Paul's declaring the fact that they are not pleasing God by what they're doing. We're going to look at some verses that actually speak about that fact. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some study charts that you can use as well. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments, about anything that you hear in one of these broadcasts, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith and preaching this message to this lost world.